flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, Keith, you ready to get back to work?
I am ready. New year, new me.
No, same hat, same sweatshirt, same shirt. Same. Yeah, pretty much same everything else.
New us, we match again.
Same hot takes. We did coordinate.
I noticed.
I'm actually running a little hot. I'll take my matching sweatshirt off soon. But
okay, good.
Yeah, it's all new. 2025, Jones.
Yeah.
Drink it in.
Yeah, still the same head coach for now.
For now.
We'll get to him, but I am real ready to be back to work.
Yeah, same.
Like, the kid in close quarters for 2 weeks.
That was a vacation.
By vacation?
Yeah, what vacation? He's still off, by the way.
He
still doesn't go back to school till Monday.
Jeez Louise. The
kids in close quarters. I am ready. I am ready to be back here
today.
Kids
are back at it today. Kids are back at it. My kids, anyway, we're back at it today. They got a nice 2 days, then back into the weekend.
Yeah,
I don't know what we're going to do this weekend. We're kind of out of stuff.
It doesn't seem like everybody's back to work based on the roads out there.
No, kind of flew in today.
But
kind of flew right in.
If you're out there and you're listening today, we appreciate it.
Yes.
Jones and Keith back in the new year. New year, new us, as
that's
it
right.
were. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. That's also your text line on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keith. You can follow along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat there. You can watch on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. So a lot of ways to get in touch as we start off the new year. And the job security of one Jerod Mayo. I mean, we've talked about it now for weeks and weeks, months and months. If you're asking me what's most likely he's going to survive this year, but barely. Because that Chargers game
oh my God.
Was such a disaster. You got the fire Mayo chance at the game.
Yikes.
You got players second-guessing him. You got May killed in that game. You left him in there.
Put him back in.
You had the whole Ramondre Stevenson debacle. Like, really everything that could have gone wrong in that game, never mind the final outcome, went wrong. He is right back squarely on the hot seat, and it's as hot as it's ever been.
He needed a 15-game season where you end on the high note of a close loss to the Bills. That's what
game.
You needed. Had they lost to the Bills,
yeah,
24-21, it just walked away from that. Josh Allen didn't have a great game. You didn't embarrass yourself at all. In fact, it was way more competitive than most of us would have even imagined. If you ended it there, yes, 3 wins is low, Jones, but you at least could have said, hey, that's not bad. Played close there. And then he really didn't say anything in the post game to which he would have to walk back the next day.
It was his best showing from a PR standpoint was that Buffalo game.
It was like he had a zapper on him, and anytime he was about to do something, he's like, no, you know, it is what it is, good game. The next week comes out, and it's the worst. They outdid themselves. And to me, across the board, it was the ultimate kick in the Johnson type of game.
Mm-hmm.
For one, let's we'll focus on Mayo for now. But real quick, Elliot Wolf, his first big draft day decision. You know, Drake May, yeah, you take him. That's obvious. The next one was trade out of 34.
Mm-hmm.
You need a receiver. Trade out of 34. You get Polk and Baker, have done nothing all year, and the Chargers take Ladd McConkey, who has more receiving yards in that game, than Polk and Baker have had all season.
It's unbelievable.
Ladd McConkey is a 1,000-yard receiver. He's like Justin Herbert's number one guy, and you didn't have to trade up to get him. You just didn't have to trade down, and you could have had Ladd McConkey. That's a side that's sort of on Elliott Wolf.
Okay, but just to flesh that out for a minute, because it's all relative. You were in a sea of receivers again, and you traded out of the actual pick. Yeah, score one for the Wolfpack on this one. It was the actual pick. You missed out on the best one. Ladd McConkey was your actual pick.
Ladd McConkey.
You were on the clock. You could have taken him. Yeah. You said, no.
Don't want him.
We don't like him. Jalen Polk is the answer. Let's get some extra assets.
Drake meme.
Which turned into Javon Baker.
Yes, Jalen Polk.
And they both
suck. You got Baker. Don't even use Baker.
Okay, but again, him. A sea of wide receivers. Xavier Worthy, who's come on. Ricky Pearsall, who looked great.
Ricky Pearsall, other night on Monday Night Football. Jones. Ricky Pearsall, for those that don't remember, got shot with a gun before the season began.
I don't mean to laugh at that.
No, but I'm saying, like for real, he got shot with a gun and had more receiving yards this week than Polk and Baker have had to combine all season.
In one game.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
One game. He was shot earlier in the year.
Xavier Leggett, who if nothing else is amusing, based on his accent, sure. His hunting, what he eats.
Eats squirrel.
Keon Coleman at 33. Like, all these guys can play.
Coleman looking good.
You got, again, the one guy in a sea of receivers right there. You could have had any. You could have moved up for him, moved back for him. You could have taken anyone. You got the one guy who blows.
I think it was a tip of the cap to Belichick. I think Belichick was here for 20 years, not drafting receivers. Elliott Wolf said, you know what? My first year, I'm also going to take a giant miss.
Yeah.
And if we just watched Ladd McConkey from afar, we would have felt this way. But then seeing it at Foxborough, just go up and down the field. Like, this guy's always open. He's scoring touchdowns. That was a hard go. Now flip it back to Mayo for a second. One of the things we said leading up to the game was people around here don't think Justin Herbert's that good because every time he's played the Patriots, he has been horrible. He plays his worst game every season against the Patriots. Not this time.
No.
Not this time. That New England team, now there's been good and bad teams, really bad teams even, that have stifled Justin Herbert over the last few years. Because let's face it, Herbert's rookie year was, 2020?
I think that's right, yeah.
So there's only been one good Patriots team in his whole time, and that was 2021. But he lit him up. He had the best game ever. I think he scored 30 combined points in three games against New England.
Okay.
They scored 40 on Saturday.
For instance, last year, and basically he did all his work in three quarters.
Right.
Last season, the Patriots were terrible. The Patriots beat him 6-0 last year.
6-0.
He didn't score.
No.
So Bill owned, say what you want about Belichick, and Bill owned, Josh Allen for a long time, and that turned.
Always rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, but even like one of the good quarterbacks that he just torched was Justin Herbert.
Bill owned Peyton Manning for a while, and it turned.
Yep.
But like Justin Herbert, he owned. And Jerod Mayo gets his first crack at Justin Herbert.
Pants.
281, three touchdowns in three quarters.
Oh, like effortless. No, it was. It was effortless. He just went out there and do whatever he wanted.
It's unbelievable.
That was. We've had to update this power ranking throughout the year. That was the worst performance of the season.
Easily.
Like, the way they played and then the decision-making. You had mentioned the Ramondre Stevenson thing. Hilarious. So Ramondre fumbles. Like, one of the down parts about the Bills game was Ramondre fumbles. You're like, oh, God, here we go again. What are they going to do? So then he tells... What does he tell Zoe that we're going to start Gibson?
Yep.
And then the game starts, and there's Ramondre Stevenson. Then he asked about it after the game. He says, coach's decision. Which coach?
Yeah, seriously.
You?
Who's somebody else? That?
Like, was it your call to bench him, or was it your call to not bench him? Or did you just change your mind, which is probably more likely?
Does it really matter at the end of the day? No, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, but it's just such an unforced error and more evidence that it's such a clown show.
It's classic Mayo, though.
It's like... Yeah. We're starting Gibson. You come out, Stevenson's on
the
field.
Looks like Ramondre.
After the game, he goes, coach's decision. It's like, what? Why'd you even say that? You didn't have to say that.
And then they ask Gibson about it.
He's like, I didn't hear a thing.
I didn't talk to me all week.
It's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have no
idea. It's so crazy. And so does it really matter who you started? No.
Obviously not.
Why'd you even tell the flagship radio station before the game, hey, who are you starting this week? I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out when we get out there. Like, say that.
TBD.
Don't say we're starting Gibson and then start Stevenson. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
So
he's falling apart. I think, like you know, like a lot of rookies hit that rookie wall. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's too many games. I wonder if that's the case with Mayo. It's like he's hitting the coaching rookie wall. So rather than improving as the season goes on, you're just out of gas. You're like, you're on empty right now. And you're like, I don't get any more coaching in me. No. I can't make any more decisions. I can't do any more press conferences.
So you can interact with the show. You can weigh in on Jerod Mayo, his job security. We're going to get to how the Patriots should approach this week with Drake May and with attempting to win or lose the game. I can't imagine anybody wants him to win the game.
I haven't heard any people say that.
But feel free and weigh in on that. What we'll do with the number one pick should the Patriots get it. We'll get to all of that. Again, it's 617-779-7937. I did miss the text line. It's the same number. Guys, I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas. Jones still has a job.
Well, there's always next year.
Also, welcome back, guys. Yeah, just hang around long enough. Also, welcome back, guys. Any of you lucky enough to get the reverse Paul Brown for Christmas? I did not.
It was left under the tree, as it was?
I did not. It was on my,
I thank you to stay out of my personal affairs.
It was on my my list.
Yep.
Santa did not bring that
That's
this
all
year,
right.
Unfortunately. So again, you can interact here. I want to read from Tommy Curran.
All right. Friend of the show.
One of many who I feel like are making it pretty clear it is dire for Jerod Mayo. I was reading Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler today. Mm-hmm. Tons of, and they all say the same thing. It's most likely Mayo's back, but if he isn't, keep an eye on Vrabel. If he isn't, could Ben Johnson be interested in the Patriots job? Like, all this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what Curran wrote. He said this final four-game post-bye stretch for the Patriots was critical. Even though they were 3-10 heading into Arizona on December 14th, it was imperative they show this foundation-laying year that they'd actually, you know, laid a foundation. Now, 3 games later, and with the new year upon us, it's obvious the franchise is still a giant friggin' crater with ooze of mud at the bottom. The only sign of stability, the only pillar, is the quarterback.
Yeah.
The Crafts, who decided a year ago they weren't down with Bill Belichick doing a second reset after his 2021 free agent spending bonanza went kablooey, now must decide if Elliott Wolf, Jerod Mayo, and all the people around them can identify talent, hire it, develop it, and then win games because they use it correctly. Nothing they do inspires even a passing flutter of confidence, and that goes for ownership too. He says the Crafts are very clearly out of practice on how to run the football side of their franchise. He says that reality flies in the face of the widely held notion they're puppet masters, but it's the truth. So he's letting him off the hook to a degree. It's like, oh, we haven't done this for a while. We kind of forgot. Bill did so much. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. He says the time to decide a path and articulate it, not some ambiguous we're trying to get better flim-flam, has arrived. And what's it going to be? So the ball is in their court. Mayo's hot seat is on absolute fire. And it doesn't help, Nick, that Keon White going into the game is like, we got to make changes. We got to do this. We got to do that. Jerod Mayo's asked about it after the game. Oh, Keon didn't mean this. That's not what he meant. Just to get it straight, here's what Keon White said after. He made the initial comments.
Yes, let's hear this.
Mayo tried to clear it up. Mm. Keon White doubled down after the game on Saturday.
Major changes are coming.
I mean, yeah, I hope so. If changes aren't made, then what are we doing? Again, the NFL is a production-based business, so if we're not doing anything to change our production, which is loss, what are we doing?
Well, what changes are you hoping for?
Let's take two more here.
again, it's not for me to decide. First and foremost, I'm changing me, changing how I play the game.
I do like that. PR guys, two more!
I'm at last one.
I don't like where this is going, guys. Two more.
Thank you for your time. Happy New Year.
Okay, but not only has Mayo lost the fan base, where they're chanting "Fire Mayo" during the game, Fire Vrabel.
Oh no, fan base is way out.
Fan base is so out. Yeah. Andy Hart did a poll question while we were out. It was like 91% of the fan base was like "Fire."
Yeah,
2,000 votes. Like it's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
It is awful. So the fan base has turned.
Mm-hmm.
What happened while we were out, Keith, is the locker room, and you saw it during the game. The team quit on Mayo, but then you get guys like Keon White popping off after the game as well, getting a chance to walk it back and saying, no, I stand by that. Changes need to be made.
So that's going to be, if he gets got, it's going to be because of that. Because Robert Kraft, I think, obviously is going to be sensitive to what the fans are saying, but you can't just make every single move based on what the fans are saying. But I think he's going to take that into account. I think Robert Kraft is, and empty seats and things like that, and the record and where this thing is going. But if the players like them, and you just need to get better players, like, okay, then if you're Robert Kraft, can't you put a little bit more push onto Elliott Wolf? One of your better players probably is Keon White. He's probably a top 5-10 player on the team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we always stop after Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, and that's fine. That you really have two players. But if you're actually making your list, he's not that far down it. And if he's saying that, like that, he's not giving you the politically correct, ah, oh, the answers are here, we just got to be better, which we know would be lying, but it's also like the, that's like saying next question. Yeah. That's sort of like the safest,
it's
little,
the
like,
easiest,
okay,
thing to get the media off your back and just get out of
we
there.
We all got to be better.
Yeah.
Great. Like, you know, but that's how you do it. Like, a lot of bad teams have said that for years. Coaches have said that. Players have said that, and you move on. But, of course, changes need to be made is a lot different.
I can go to the next question.
Well, think about that. Like, you also can't get rid of, as much as a lot of people would want to, you can't really get rid of 50 guys. Like, you're going to get rid of a bunch, I think.
I wanted them to last year. They brought them all back.
Well, that's true. That was on them.
Yeah.
But the coaches, I mean, that is a finger pointed at the head coach. So if the fans and the players don't like you, if you're Robert Kraft, you're like, wait, why am I keeping this guy again? Just because I went out on a limb and said that I liked him, I mean, guess. But
Keith, if he stays, if he survives, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only reason. What else would you latch onto? The players don't want him here.
But that's
the players.
No, you're right.
You
no, I know.
On Saturday, they don't want him here. Keon White just told you that
to change Kraft's mind.
I don't know. Yeah. I like, if I'm wagering on it, I would wager he's back. But I mean, 60-40.
You got one more home game, by the way, coming up.
Yeah, it's gonna be ugly.
And who knows? Yeah, who knows? And also, most people, smart people, don't want you to win. So what if you do something? So either you suck and everyone's laughing and booing at you for sucking.
Right.
Or you actually score a touchdown and you're winning and you're like, what are you doing? You're going to cough up the number one pick.
Yeah, what's more likely to get him fired? Losing the game or winning the game? Jordan Mayo.
Ask Lovie Smith a couple years ago. He won the game, cost them the number one pick, got fired. No, I mean, it's comically a lose-lose scenario for him. It really is. Like, we're going to be pissed no matter, or I'll be more pissed if they win, obviously. More pissed if they win.
We said very consistently all year, for the first like three and a half months, I don't want them to tank.
Yeah.
But now you're here, and now it's what you suck.
Yeah.
Would I rather have the first or the fourth pick? I'd rather have the first pick.
It's a weird, it's
so
a
like,
fine
lose
line.
The game.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
I know.
But it's like, going to be hard for him. If anybody can screw it up, it's this guy.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be that hard. Lose the game.
But does he tell Drake May he's starting and then he's not starting? And like all this other stuff? Like, does he step in it along the way? And like,
I'm sure.
You know, how does it look and all of that stuff? But yeah, I mean, it doesn't, the season can't come to an end soon enough. But that for Mayo, but then you wonder, all right, on Monday, we're just, what, 5 days away from 7 coaches being fired in the NFL, 8 coaches being fired, something like that. And his name is definitely right there in the mix with them.
Yeah, Graziano listed 9 today, and the Patriots were one of the 9.
Okay.
So, like, he is far from safe, and that got much, much worse for him over the break. Do you think he'll survive? Like I just said, I think the most likely scenario is he's back. Maybe 60-40 he's back?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel super strong that he's back. I would not bring him back. But the only reason that he would return isn't because the players want him. It isn't because he's a good coach. It isn't because you've seen anything out of what he's done. It's not because of how he handles press conferences. It would be purely because Robert Kraft's pride. That's it. That's the only reason he'd be back.
Yeah, I was always of the mindset that he's definitely going to survive. They would get rid of both coordinators and Elliott Wolf before Jerod Mayo just because it'd be such a walk back from Robert Kraft. However, I still think, yes, if I had to pick one or the other, he's
if
back.
You're picking, he's back.
He's back. But I think the way the fans have reacted, the way the players have reacted, and the fact that Mike Vrabel is available and is telling people he wants the job, not my first pick.
Me neither.
But I do think Robert Kraft would view that as a safe pick, a guy that he has a relationship with, a guy that he feels like most of the fan base would support. Most of them would. It would. It would be a popular decision right away.
Look, even I would talk myself. It's not my first pick, but even I would talk myself
That's
into
what I'm
it.
Saying.
Mayo or Vrabel? Vrabel, easy.
Because I think the fear would be, and another reason to keep a bad coach, I think, around the league is like, all right, well, who are we going to get?
Right.
Right. Like, all right, it's easy to fire that guy, but then where are we gonna turn to? And if Vrabel was just coaching in Tennessee still and never got fired, and you're looking at the current crop of head coaching candidates, and it was like, all right, we can try to convince Ben Johnson. But he has his, you know, he's going to ask for $20 million or whatever. And, like, you know, and where else do we turn? And do we replace Mayo with a guy that's even worse rather than like seeing if he can improve in year two? But if you have an established guy like Vrabel, who the Crafts obviously love, that might also kind of be the death blow for Mayo.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So you guys can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. That's your text line to get in touch with Jones and Keefe. We're back for the new year.
That's right.
Not going anywhere, knock on wood, for the foreseeable future. We will mix in some other topics on the show today. It's Bruins Thursday, so we'll talk to the Razor at 11:20. Get some thoughts on how the Bees played over break. We'll get to the Celtics as well, not playing their best. We're starting off talking Jerod Mayo and his job security. We'll get to Drake May. Should he play in this game? Should he not play in this game? Should the Patriots protect him? And furthermore, how do you approach this game? You got to lose it, right? Right?
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Let's talk about Mayo at this point. I still think, as of today, as of New Year's Eve, I do think he's more probable than not to be back as coach next year. I would put the percentages now at about 60-65%. I thought he had it locked up after the Buffalo game, but what they put out there, if the Crafts know what they're looking at, if they're listening to the right people, if they're asking questions of the right people, that should cause you concern. I mean, to put up that type of performance at home near the end of the season, to me, it shows that there has been no progress. They are regressing, actually. It's getting worse. I don't know. I don't see any path forward to making it better next year. I think they have to entertain the nuclear option, blowing it all up.
Nuclear option.
Wow.
Blow it.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Everybody?
Lighthouse.
Keep Drake May. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's not go crazy here.
No.
Yeah. Keep Drake May.
Keep Gonzo.
Everybody else. And Gonzo.
Yeah.
Who got banged up. Everybody's going to drop like flies on Saturday.
Yeah,
that was the other part.
They were doing their best to get the whole team murdered in that game.
We were talking about how bad the performance was for Mayo and how bad it looked for a guy like Elliot Wolf. And then it's like, oh, and their best players are getting hurt. Like, literally their two best players. Like, you couldn't have drawn up a worse scenario.
The one thing I will say about May is the scenario where everybody drew it up is that the O-line was going to get Drake May killed.
Mm.
That has not been the case with either concussion for him. Both of them are him picking up yards, running. And so that is the danger of having a mobile quarterback. I want that in today's NFL. Yeah. But it's not like he's back there dead duck getting his head taken off, and that's where these concussions are coming from.
Does it alarm you that he's had a couple of blue tent stints in however many games?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And I say concussion, like I'm assuming there's some low-level concussion going on in this game this weekend. He's cleared. There's now like a phantom hand injury that he's got.
This to me is also where watching Tom Brady for 20 years kind of skews how you view the quarterback. Like outside of 08, he'd get hit, get up, keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you never were like, even when he got his thumb almost ripped off in practice, when I know it wasn't brain surgery or whatever, open heart surgery, what Belichick said.
It was not open heart surgery, no.
But like, obviously he was hurt. He got hurt a lot. Remember Giselle even did that interview where she's like, he's had concussions. The guy's had a lot of concussions. So guys get hurt, but they play through it. You never once wondered, like, is he going to be back out there? Whereas like Drake May has started, what, 10 games or whatever it is? And we've seen him leave. One game he didn't come back in. Yeah. The other game he did come back in, and you're like, maybe he shouldn't have. So, yeah, it's definitely something to monitor because a lot of quarterbacks move around a little bit. But how often does, you know, Mitch Trubisky have to come in for Josh Allen during the course of a year? Or does he just go back in there?
It will happen on Sunday. But in general, no, Josh Allen is just out there for sure.
Right.
So Bedard, pretty forceful there on his podcast. 60 to 65% Mayo's back, which I think for a beat writer, that's an exceptionally low number. Like for somebody who covers the team, talks to people within the team, to come in and say, on record, like out there on his podcast, yeah, I think it's 60% and the Crafts could invoke the nuclear option.
Oof.
That is bold. Like, it's one thing to sit here and say it on talk radio. It's another for him to say it. That means I think he believes there's a real good chance Mayo's
Seriously.
Gone. Here's what he wrote at Boston Sports Journal. He said, I have a few words to describe the current state of the Patriots on-field product.
I have a few words, too. Yeah, go ahead. I'll save mine.
I think a lot of people do. They were yelling them at Gillette over the weekend. He says, pathetic.
Yeah, that's one.
Unprofessional.
Uh-huh.
Unserious.
Oh.
Overmatched.
Yep.
Embarrassing.
That's right.
That's definitely a word I would keep.
I would say it's embarrassing, yeah.
The Patriots did not put out a professional product on their home field on Saturday. I don't even blame the players. This is Bedard speaking. Mm. I blame them a little bit.
I mean, they're the ones that stink.
I actually feel sorry for them.
they're pro athletes. Let's not go crazy. Sorry.
And I fear for them. Should this staff be brought back for a second season?
He sounds like Belichick.
I was going to say Bill is writing this.
He sounds like Bill. I feel bad for the players. Like, they're in the NFL. Like, let's not go crazy here.
I don't know what the coaches did to prepare the team for that game, but it looked like they completely half-assed it. I know what they did. Mayo thought in the first half against Buffalo he saved his job and he stopped working. That's what I think happened.
He's like, all set.
Maybe they accomplished something like job security against Buffalo, don't think that much of the Chargers, and tried to coast in the final two games. Big mistake, writes Bedard. If the Crafts are serious about having a real football operation anytime soon, that 40-7 shellacking should put everyone on notice, starting with Gerard Mayo. He's the head coach. Your team reflects on you, and it is now a joke.
All right, so I agree with that last part, and I think, you know, Kraft, it's on Kraft. It is then also on Mayo and Wolf. The player part of it, like, I think you can blame Elliott Wolf for building a really bad roster. I'm not going to completely let the players off the hook, because I don't think if you swap in a new coach, they're winning 8 games, 10 games. The roster stinks. We joke all the time. Like, how many guys would you even want to bring back? How many guys would start on other teams or get meaningful snaps on other teams? Like, it's probably pretty low. So, no, the players are a big part of the problem. But then you go from there. You're like, all right, well, who put those players in place? Who put that guy in place? That's why it all goes back to Robert Kraft. But, like, the players aren't good and they're just getting coached poorly. Like, it's a combination. I'm sure they're getting coached poorly, but they're also not very good.
No.
Nobody would want any of your players.
No. We've mentioned Wolf a couple of times in the show. I mean, do you think he's back?
All right, is Mayo back in the scenario?
Let's say Mayo's out. Let's say Mayo's out. Is Wolf also out?
No. I think he keeps
he
Wolf.
Should be.
He should be.
Yeah.
No, at this point, they all should be.
Yeah. Like, nuclear option. Yeah, everyone not named Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, see ya.
No, I've
as a wise man once said, you done, son.
You done, son. Yeah. I feel like they all, like, the nature of the job with Elliott Wolf is, I feel like that's crazier. I did a bad job. I thought the Rich Keefe stats and info would be on this over the break. They were not. More one-and-done head coaches or more one-and-done GMs in NFL history? I would guess the coach thing.
Me too.
Because you're like, all right.
How many GMs are out after 1 year?
I can't imagine many, because you want to at least see those draft picks. They might make that year two jump. Bill Belichick's talked about it all the time. No. I don't think these ones will.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, in NFL history.
It's happened before.
Right. Bill Belichick's talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
I also keep going back to this. I think Robert Kraft stands in the way of Elliott Wolf doing his best job more so than he stands in the way of Gerard Mayo potentially doing his best job. Meaning, hey, you have this amount of money to spend. It's like, well, can a little bit more? Nope. Okay, then you don't get your guys. Whereas with Mayo, I don't think he's going in there and be like, hey, you should punt on every fourth down and never go for two and coach super scared and make the defense worst. I really don't think Kraft has said that.
No.
Whereas I think Elliott Wolf, like, if Kraft fires Elliott Wolf, brings in another guy, gives him the same restrictions.
You still got to spend.
You still got to spend. And, like, the draft pick thing is bad. That is a bad thing that Elliott Wolf can't blame Kraft for. Like, you thought Polk was a better receiver than Ladd McConkey. You're wrong. He got that wrong.
And they were, I mean, it's a nationally televised game, and you're getting embarrassed
Pantsed.
By the guy you could have taken. You were on the clock. You moved down. You said, no, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker greater than Ladd McConkey, and they were wrong. So, and that was on national TV.
Oh, yeah.
I would not underestimate
Standalone
that.
Standalone game.
You were getting booed by your fan base on national TV and getting pantsed by the guy you could have drafted. If you want to talk about a big pendulum swing and Robert Kraft swallowing his pride and not being stubborn, I would not underestimate the whole backdrop of that visual.
Do you give Elliott Wolf like a little bit of a pass on the free agent class?
Yes.
Yeah, because of Kraft and spending and just years of not spending.
Look, you didn't have any money to spend. You chose to spend it on Chukwuma Okorafor and on KJ Osborne. Those are mistakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the bigger mistake was not spending, and they didn't spend.
No, it was bad. And, you know, Austin Hooper and Antonio Gibson, like a couple guys that have sort of helped, but you also brought back a lot of guys. So I think free agency wasn't very good. And then the draft has been a debacle, but you also may have gotten your franchise quarterback, which he does not deserve a lot of credit for, but you can't just keep saying it's the worst draft class ever, and then you might have, like, your franchise quarterback.
Right. And since they have the franchise quarterback, real quick, we agree. It's not even worth asking people, do you want to lose the game or win the game this weekend? Winning the game does nothing. Yep. It might even hurt Jerod Mayo's job security. They should lose this game this weekend. I want the number one pick. I'd rather have one than four. Not that hard. Okay? So, like, I don't know, Jones.
There's some good players coming out at four.
But, what would you, right now the season ends, what are you doing at one?
I would trade down. I'm not usually a big trade down guy in any sport, but I think because you have the quarterback, you got to hope somebody goes crazy for Shedeur Sanders and you move down and you need so many things. I still like Travis Hunter a lot. I just wouldn't take him at one. And if you trade down to three or four, you might still get Travis Hunter and you get future picks.
You're moving down to still take Hunter?
I would.
Okay.
And then best toss available.
I forgot about best toss available.
Yeah,
right. I forgot we did this play.
Yeah, I would do the BHA later on. Yes. But so that's the thing is if you trade down from one, you're getting a top 10 pick this year, maybe another one depending on what team you're dealing with, and then also maybe one next year. And then if you get that next year, you can always trade back in. Like I think it gives you so many more options. So I think I would 100% trade down.
I don't know if you follow, meaning the listeners out there, I know you do, but Dane Brugler, his draft coverage, he basically said Drew Aller, the quarterback at Penn State, who I actually don't like.
No, me neither.
But apparently there's still a chance he gets into the draft.
And yeah, because he said he was staying.
The Patriots should want that. You want Penn State going on a run, winning a national title, him showcasing himself. He doesn't need to come back to school if they win a title. And now he's in the draft. And now it's Drew Aller, and it's Shedeur Sanders, and it's Cam Ward. And teams are lobbying to get in the mix for the number one pick. And I agree with you. Yeah. Move down.
Counterpoint. If he stays in school and you only have two top guys, isn't there more of a desire? Whereas another team might say, well, I can just get him at three.
That is a good point.
And then maybe you like them all the same, or maybe you like one more, maybe you'd like a different guy.
But like, does every team like all these quarterbacks?
No, and who knows? Shedeur Sanders, Deion might say you're not going to go there.
It's true.
And like that throws a whole curveball.
Well, it's been suggested the whole Colorado crew could come here, Keith, which we'll get to later on in the show. Let's get to some phone calls. John is in Franklin. Get us started today, John.
Hey, guys. So you're talking about what I want to talk about. So, listen, I'm praying they lose this game. I want the number one overall pick for the following reason. I'm going to lay out a scenario. I mean, I'm not saying this will happen. Tell me if you kind of think something like this could happen. So, look, you're going to have quarterback-thirsty teams. It's a tale as old as time that want to get into that number one pick to draft Shedeur or Cam because they're going to fall in love with the guy. And I like to call it right now, it's the Jaden Daniels effect. And like 5 or 6 years ago, you saw the Mahomes effect where, you know, everybody was looking for the next, you know, the Niners, they reached, they tried to get Trey Lance. And this year, it's going to be the Jaden Daniels effect. And what I want to see happen, and I'm hoping happens, let's just say a scenario like this. Let's say the Raiders want to get into that number one overall pick. You say, all right, we're going to swap with you. We're going to take your number one pick this year, which is going to be like 7 or 8. Then we're going to get a first next year. But instead of giving us an additional second or first or whatever, how about we take Brock Bowers? Or how about we take...
Okay, well, that's not going to happen. But getting a roster player, you're not getting Brock Bowers.
No.
But
like Jakobi Meyers.
Getting a roster player, I think, would be reasonable with the draft picks. But
even
like
Max Crosby. Like Bowers, they just took in the top 10 and is already a stud. But whatever. Like, I get your point. Like, I think when these different trades happen, and like if you want to use even the Jimmy Johnson like draft grade or whatever, and like usually it's picks for picks, but you can swap out some of those mid-round picks for players and you can get creative.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
And some, again, Bowers you're not getting. But something like that where, all right, we're moving down a few spots, we're going to get multiple picks, and we get a roster player. Yeah, I'm on board with that. And I was so against trading down last year because you didn't have the quarterback. We now think you have the quarterback. So I'm okay with trading down. I actually, and I'm with you, Keith. I rarely want to trade down. And it's ironic that I'm rooting so hard for the number one pick just to move it.
Yeah, right.
But you can get more for the number one pick than the number four pick. And even if they're at four, let's say they win this weekend and screw it all up and they're at four, I'm probably still in favor of trading down.
Well, I think specifically this year, too, it's so different because you have a quarterback.
a quarterback's going to go number one. So it's not even a scenario where, let's say, hey, you need a left tackle, but you're going to settle for the second best left. You're going to move all the way down to take the second. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're giving another team their quarterback and you're getting a whole pile of picks. It seems like a no-brainer.
I agree.
There's also a difference between, are you trading down to 12? Are you trading down to 4? Like, I guess you can get into the new, like, the specifics there and, like, what a difference that is. Because now are you going to walk away with, like, the fourth tackle? Like, how I don't want to go too far down.
Yeah, are you willing to go? So these are all things we'll get into today. You can jump in. What are you doing with the number one pick? Should the Patriots get it? And are you rooting for the number one pick? I think most of you are. But you can let us know if you're not. 617-779-7937. We'll get into Drake May, whether or not he should play on Sunday against the Bills. It all ties into this same topic. Plus, Alex Van Pelt, is he a dead man walking going into this game this weekend? I think so. I will explain why next.
It is that time of year where we are talking about coaches' job status, fortunately and unfortunately. Let's focus in on Patriots coach Gerard Mayo. Obviously, the Patriots play today, and we saw a really strong showing last week from the Patriots taking the Buffalo Bills to the brink. Here's my understanding, guys, of where Gerard Mayo stands with the Patriots. They came into the season knowing and believing he was going to be their leader for the future. They also knew that as a team, just based on the lack of talent that they had, they knew it would take some time. From my understanding, this is something I reported on NFL.com with Tom earlier this morning, nothing has caused the Patriots to come off that. Obviously, there have been challenges with the Patriots this season. No doubt about that. Could potentially see some staff changes, focus maybe on offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. We'll see where they end up going with that decision. But my understanding, Gerard Mayo heading into this offseason, safe, guys.
Ian Rappaport. It's important to note that was before the Chargers game.
Yeah, a lot changed.
Gerard Mayo goes in safe. I don't know how safe
sure
he is. But the note in there that Alex Van Pelt, there could be staff changes, I think is noteworthy. I think we all see it coming. When Jonathan Kraft and Robert, they're sitting there complaining about the play calls in the Colts game. What week was that? The Dolphins game? I don't remember anymore. And they're sitting there and bitching about the play calls. It's understandable that Alex Van Pelt is probably going to be out. The thing that I just have trouble squaring away isn't just that he's been the best at his job, Keith, which we talked about. He's better at his job than Covington.
Mm-hmm.
He's better at his job than Mayo. He's better at his job than Wolf. Not that he's great at his job.
No, and significantly more NFL experience than all those guys combined.
But so I just don't get what you expect. Why is he here? Like, the more I think about it, the more that whole search for offensive coordinator, and I know they got turned down by half the league.
Yeah.
But if he's going to go out and do better than we expected and outperform all the other coaches, and again, I don't think he's been great, but I do think he's better clearing the low bar of all the other coaches on staff, and then you're still going to fire him? What was ever the point of that?
Well, they couldn't get anybody to take the job, like you said. Gerard Mayo has no network. He doesn't know anybody around the league, it doesn't seem like. He just turned to DeMarcus Covington, and then the reports were they wanted Nick Caley, but Nick Caley was like, I'll do it for a ton of money because you guys screwed me. You guys picked Patricia and Judge over me. So I kind of love Nick Caley for holding a grudge.
Yeah, good for him.
That's kind of how I read that whole situation. So you didn't get Caley. You interview a bunch of other guys. Zach Robinson already was going to take the job down with Raheem Morris in Atlanta. A couple of the other guys you interviewed actually were worse. Shane Waldron and Luke Getsy got fired in season.
That's a good point.
In their first years. So, like, maybe you dodged a bullet in those guys.
You could have actually maybe done worse.
So they interviewed 12, 13 guys. They end up with Alex Van Pelt, who had just gotten fired by Cleveland. And he obviously has a connection to Elliott Wolf, takes the job, and you're like, all right, we got this guy. So to your point, what would you have expected him to do this year in order to keep him?
Like,
I think he kind of did it. Drake May's getting better.
I think if he did anything to keep the job, he did it. Like, if you're going to keep Mayo, I personally would run it back with Van Pelt.
I think I would definitely bring back Van Pelt if you got a offensive head coach. I think it'd be a no-brainer. You could almost kind of have him be the quarterback coach.
Oh, you're saying even if you fire Mayo, you'd keep him around. Yeah.
I'm saying maybe especially if you fire Mayo.
Yeah, bring in. You brought this up before. You know, you bring in Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
And now Van Pelt can be offensive coordinator in name, but he's really a quarterback
coach. And he's still working with Drake May. Yeah. He's got a relationship, and May likes him and all that other stuff. Because I don't think after this season, where they're going to win three games, they're going to go into the offseason on, a 7-game losing streak, fire Mayo chance, all that stuff.
And then you sit back and you're like, guys, we've moved on from DeMarcus Covington. You're like, I'm sorry, what?
That's
like
it.
That's the one move we've
that's
made.
That's all.
And we're going to be, I promise we're going to be aggressive in free agency. It's like, I don't know that to be true. I think that's tough. I also don't think, though, like, as we get closer to it and you see how bad it is, can they really just pull a Philadelphia Eagles, which this past offseason, they didn't like what happened with Sirianni. They lost in the wild card round, and he was on a hot seat. And I was like, man, that might be a spot for Bill. They keep Sirianni. They fired both of his coordinators. However, the difference there is Sirianni was in the Super Bowl the year before and had been in the playoffs three consecutive years as a head coach. Mm-hmm. So he at least had a track record and something to fall back on. Whereas with Mayo, can you just say, hey, it's really bad here, we're going to change all the coordinators and expect something new? Like, I don't think he gets the same benefit of the doubt as Sirianni.
Have you seen the name that has emerged as a potential Alex Van Pelt replacement? Chad Graff had this at The Athletic. Josh McCown.
Josh McCown?
Yeah, who I guess I was unaware of this, but I guess Josh McCown worked at the same high school while Drake May was there in Charlotte.
You know what? I remember this last year at the draft, and then I forgot about it because I remember them talking about it then.
Myers Park or wherever he went to high school in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Josh McCown, when he was first out of the
Vikings
league.
He's now, right?
Yes. He was volunteering there while Drake May was, I think, a junior in high school. So there is a connection to May. That's a name that's emerged that I find to be interesting, but like...
I said it'd be interesting. Well, I mean...
I don't know that I'm itching to blow out Van Pelt just to bring in a guy like that, unless I'm making larger changes like moving on from the head coach, then fine.
Yeah, right. I think with Mayo, you're like, all right, is he going to stand in the way and like some of those decisions? Because, I mean, Sam Darnold, the season that he is having, is making Kevin O'Connell look like a genius. And then from there, I mean... Josh McCown's the quarterback coach. He's not the offensive coordinator. He's not the play caller, but still, like, he gets some of that.
We all give O'Connell credit for Darnold, but McCown deserves some of it.
Throw some of it his way.
Some of it. I mean, most of it goes to O'Connell.
He's
but
probably a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett right now, Josh McCown.
That's true.
So in a pinch, you can throw him out there.
Offensive coordinator coach.
Player.
Yeah, player. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Offensive coordinator player. Exactly what I meant.
Yeah, no, not a player coach.
That's the new Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Instead of playing both ways, he coaches and plays.
Not both sides of the football.
No.
He coaches and he plays.
Right.
He calls his own plays.
he gets out there.
Barry's in New Bedford. Go ahead, Barry.
Hey, guys. Listen, there's another problem here no one's talking about. And the one thing about New York and Philly beat guys, they don't hold back. When they know these guys need to be fired, it's on the front page of the Daily News. The media in this town, Hammond and Hahn, outside of Tommy Curran and maybe Greg Bedard, the rest of the media in this town, from Reese to Callahan, they play footsie with the crafts, and you can clearly see it because that should be on the front page of the Boston Herald. Mayo's got to go. Wolf's got to go. They need to clean house. Not one. All I see is the hemming and hawing by the media in this town, and it's almost like they're playing footsies with the crafts.
Okay, I'm going to read Reese coming up. I actually think Reese was letting you know Mayo is far from safe.
Yeah.
And that is his way of reporting. I think he lets you know things, but he's not going to come right out and say it. I don't know why you blame Mike Reese for the front page of the Boston Herald.
Not up to him.
But I think Bedard saying 60 to 65%, it's probably worse, and he's probably going a little
walking
soft there.
Just,
yeah, that would be my guess.
Is it the relationship with the Crafts? Is it just used to covering a team that has won consistently for 20 years?
Because
I feel like some of that... It was a lot easier for guys in the 90s, even in like early 2000s, to be like crazy with all the teams. And then I think a lot of the winning has kind of knocked it back a little bit. You'll still find it, but
I think that's fair. But like, it's not blared all over the front page of the Herald.
Yeah.
The fans were booing.
They were
and saying fire Mayo.
Well, I mean, come on.
But the fans are different than the media. That's fair. I think we're pretty critical on the radio. I can't speak for all the beat writers, but I think we're pretty critical on the radio. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line to get in touch here today. It is a Bruins Thursday. We'll talk to the Razor. Coming up about a half hour from now, we have Celtics thoughts later on in the show. When we come back, let's get to Drake May, whether or not the Patriots should play him in this game this weekend. That's next.